Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
See the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and we will spend our time this morning in chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, in a message entitled, I Will Build My Church. We are entering into the fall season. School is about to start back. For some of you teachers, work is about to start back, and you're not excited about that. The kids probably aren't that excited about that either, but some of you who have tried to figure out what to do with your kids this summer are pumped up, right? Send them back. You're excited about that. As we head into this fall season, I want to remind us once again as a church family, number one, why the church matters, why the church is important, why Jesus loves his church and laid his life down for his church. And then with that message covered this week, specifically in the next few weeks together, what we at North River Church are seeking to do to make disciples here in this community. And we will focus in grow, and go. Those three words as we look over the next few weeks together. But this morning, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Have you ever been told by someone that you needed a plan B? You ever had that happen? Maybe you were excited, you were heading into college, and you told someone, you know what, I'm going to major in a certain area, and they said, I mean, follow your dreams, but you may want a plan B, you may want a backup plan. Or maybe you were looking, you say, you know, this job I think is going to be amazing. I think this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And someone says, you may want a backup plan. You may want to think about that a little bit. Or maybe you had some other plans and someone looked at you and they said, you know, I know that that's plan A, but you may want to have plan B just in case that doesn't work out. I want you to hear me this morning, church. Jesus does not have a plan B. The church of Jesus Christ is plan A, and there is no plan B. Jesus is turning the world upside down with his people, with his church. That's the reason the church matters. That's the reason that the church is important. And as we're going to see in the text this morning, and this is the main idea if you want to write this down in your notes today, the church's foundation is solid, its future is certain, and its foes will fail. The church's foundation is solid, its future is certain, and its foes will fail. As we look at the text this morning, Jesus is interacting with his disciples. They are traveling around. He's just told his disciples that they needed to be careful. They needed to watch out for false teaching that was going on at this point in time. That there were religious leaders of the day who were focused in saying, well, if Jesus really is the Messiah, the only way that we're going to believe that is if he does something miraculous. It's interesting as we think about that, because a number of months ago we worked our way through John's gospel, the first part of it, and saw sign after sign after sign that Jesus did in his ministry. But the religious leaders would see those and they'd say, eh, we need to see another one. None were good enough. None were enough to point them to the realization that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus says to his disciples, you need to be careful of that. In the midst of this conversation, in verse 13, we see that as they enter into the district of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples a question. I would dare say that this is the most important question that any of us could answer. It's the most important question that Jesus posed to his disciples throughout his ministry with them. Jesus asks this question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus says to them, who am I? What's the word on the street? What are people saying? What are people talking about? It's interesting as we think about even our contemporary culture today. You bring up Jesus, people have some pretty crazy ideas, don't they? I mean, there's some people that look and say, man, I really like Jesus. I like his teachings. I mean, the whole thing about him being the only way to get to heaven, I mean, I'm not sure about all that, but I like him. He's a good guy. He taught some really good things. I mean, that's all well and good. And then there's some that look and say, well, I'm not even sure Jesus is real. There's some that look and say, I'm not even sure. I mean, maybe he was a person, but I think he was a bit crazy and thought he was God and all that. And yet, then you have here Jesus asking his disciples that question. And notice what the contemporary culture for them says about who Jesus is. They responded in verse 14, some say that you're John the Baptist. Which, if you know the story of the New Testament, he was a contemporary of Jesus. It was John the Baptist that was preaching repentance in the wilderness, that he was reminding the people that the Messiah was coming, that he was about to enter into the world. And then if you remember, it was John who saw Jesus, who said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and was baptized, Jesus baptized. You know, the interesting thing here is that Jesus is not John the Baptist. Some said, well, maybe he's Elijah who's come back from the dead, the great prophet who did miraculous things in the Old Testament. Maybe that's who he is. We know that he's not Elijah. Some said, well, maybe he's Jeremiah, or maybe he's one of the other prophets. You see, they were willing to give Jesus at least a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He had to have been sent by God in some capacity. He was doing miraculous things. He was speaking in incredible ways. People were hearing him teach and saying, we've never heard anyone teach with authority like him. Maybe he is special. Jesus says in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? See, the truth is, it doesn't really matter what everyone else says about Jesus. What matters, Jesus says, is what do you say about who Jesus is? What a phenomenal question to ask his disciples. Jesus, in this moment, like a good teacher, puts them on the spot. Because you got to know at this point, Jesus' disciples are watching all that he's doing. They're seeing these miracles that he's performing. They're hearing his teaching. But then they're also hearing what everybody else is saying. They're hearing people say, well, maybe he's John the Baptist, maybe he's Elijah, maybe he's Jeremiah, maybe he is a prophet that's sent by God. He's a pretty incredible person. I mean, and in their minds, all of these ideas about who Jesus is are swirling around. And so Jesus cuts through all of that and asks a pointed question: who do you say that I am? One of my favorite characters in all of Scripture, Peter, opens his mouth. There's a number of times throughout Scripture that Peter opens his mouth and his foot goes in. Says things that he shouldn't say. One of those follows this not long after. But at this point, I want you to hear what Peter says. Verse 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ." Now, if you remember, as we were walking through John's gospel, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Remember that? I know we call him Jesus Christ. Christ is a descriptor. It is saying that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He's the one that God had promised to send to save his people from their sins. At this moment, Peter says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior, the Son of the living God." In fact, in this moment, Peter's confession of who Jesus is going to lay the foundation, Jesus says, for his church in this world. Jesus answered in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus says, you didn't come up with this on your own, Peter. No, this was given to you by my Father. Your eyes were open to the reality of who I am. I am the Christ, the Savior who has come into this world. Jesus follows it up in verse 18. "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 18, in my estimation, is one of the most encouraging verses in all of Scripture. I want us to unpack verse 18 this morning, and as we think about the main idea of our text, that the church's foundation is solid, we see that here at the beginning of verse 18. Following Peter's confession of who Jesus is, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior who will save his people from their sins, Jesus says to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." The confession that Peter had just made, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he is the Messiah. Jesus here is not saying, "Peter, you're the rock, and I'm going to build my church on you." That's not what he's saying. Jesus is saying, the confession that I am the Savior, that I am the Messiah, that solid rock confession is what the church will be built upon. I want you to hear me this morning. We confess as we gather together every single Sunday that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We lift him up every single week because we know that as we lift up Jesus, That men and women and boys and girls, according to the scripture, can look on him and trust in him and experience salvation through him. Everything that we do as a church is centered on the reality that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and salvation can only be found in him. In fact, if you want to say it this way, we are a church that is ruled by Jesus. I, as your pastor, don't rule this church. Amen? Jesus rules this church. Why does Jesus rule this church? Because he is the foundation for the church. Jesus is our foundation. The reality that Jesus Christ stepped foot out of heaven, that he came to this earth, that he lived a sinless life, that he went to the cross and took upon himself our sins and gave his life on the cross to pay the debt of sin that we owed, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose from the grave. That confession, that truth is what the church is built upon. We will not compromise on that. We will not question that. We will not look and say, well, maybe there's another way to be saved, because we don't believe there is. And if you're here this morning and you're wondering, what's the message of North River Church? That Jesus Christ can change your life. That's the message. You can boil it down to that, that if you will trust in Jesus for salvation, he will save you from your sins and give you a life worth living. That's the confession here that Peter makes, that Jesus says is the foundation that the church is built upon. So with that as our foundation, notice he continues on. On this rock, I will build my church. There's no doubt. The future of the church is certain. Jesus doesn't say, with that as the foundation, hopefully we can get this thing off the ground. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm going to build my church as long as everything works out okay. I'm going to build my church as long as we can recruit the best people to carry the message forward. I mean, look at the ragtag bunch that Jesus is left with. They weren't the best. They weren't the brightest. They weren't the smartest. They weren't the most influential. But they had met Jesus and he had changed their lives, and they turned the world upside down. The promise that Jesus makes here is that he will build his church. I love that. I love the promise that Jesus makes here. Because here's the thing. Here's what is freeing about that as a pastor. It doesn't say, I and the pastor will build the church. It also doesn't say, I and the members of the church will build the church. How do churches grow? Jesus. You say, well, hang on just a second, Michael. I mean, you know, if we build a building, it's kind of like the Field of Dreams, right? If you build it, they will come. If you have the best music, they're going to come. If you have the best preaching, they're going to come. If you have the most friendly people standing outside, they're going to come. But it's not what it says. That doesn't mean that we don't want to have friendly people or good preaching or great music or a building. Those things are not bad things in and of themselves. But the promise that Jesus makes is not that he will build his church as long as all of those pieces come together. Jesus' promise is that he will build his church. He will do it. There is no question of whether or not it's going to happen. And here's what we have the privilege of looking back at thousands of years, the reality that with just a few hundred people, when Jesus left this earth, ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, with just a few hundred people, it didn't take very long for the world to be turned upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we get to watch as we look throughout church history of seeing Jesus' words here come true, of the church being built up. And then we look at times and we see the church coming under attack in the book of Acts. And we see it even in our own day now, the church coming under attack in a number of places throughout the world. If you think we have it bad here in this country, just move around the world for a little bit and realize we got it really, really good here. Because there are believers in China that are going to prison for the fact of gathering together and worshiping Jesus. But here's the interesting thing. The church is continuing to grow. At every point that we look and we think maybe, just maybe, the church is going to be stamped out of existence and in a location it's going to be stamped out forever, we see pockets of believers pop up. And the gospel of Jesus Christ continue to go forth. And I can just in my mind think about Jesus looking at that going, I told you so. I told you that I would build my church. It's interesting as well. Jesus says it's his church. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's his church. Everything that we do is centered on him. He rules in his church. Not only do we see that the future of the church is certain, maybe the most encouraging part of verse 18 follows. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The third truth is that the foes of the church will fail. You know, it's interesting to me that oftentimes as believers, when things get tough, when things begin to get difficult in church or globally in the church, that if we're not careful, we will sit back and we will wring our hands wondering whether or not it's going to work out. And Jesus has told us the end of the story. The church of Jesus Christ will not fail. You can say amen to that. Jesus promises here that the gates of hell, as hard as Satan and his demons will work to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, they can't do it. As much as they would love to come in and create dissension within the church, as much as they would love to send persecution into the church, as much as they would love to do everything they can to seek to stamp out Christianity throughout the world, Jesus' promise is they will fail every single time. Now, here's what that should mean for us. Gathered together as North River Church in this community, we we should remember that we win. Wouldn't it be amazing to go into a game that you're playing knowing that you already won? Can you imagine that? Pick up basketball game, you step foot on the court and you know, yeah, we're going to win. That's what we're told. Jesus' promise to the church is that the church will survive. Not only that, the church will thrive. Now, here's the thing that we've got to be careful about. Jesus, as he's speaking here, is talking about the church collectively, the body of Christ throughout ages and throughout all the world. We may have seen it even individually in our own lives. Churches fail. Churches close their doors. Churches shut down. We can grow discouraged about that, and we should pray for them. We should seek to help as we're able with those churches that are struggling and going through difficulty and going through trial and going through tribulation. But we can take heart of knowing the reality that the church of Jesus Christ will prevail. Now, in light of that, I want to issue a challenge to you here this morning. I want you to think about a simple question. Are you as committed to the church as Jesus is committed to his church? Are you as locked in and fulfilling the mission that Jesus has given his church? I just ask you this. Have you chosen to lock arms with us officially as members here at North River Church? You say, Michael, this church membership thing, I just really don't get it. Let me just boil it down to you very, very simply. You're just voicing that you have locked arms with other believers here at North River Church to fulfill the mission that God has called us to fulfill. That's what it means. And I want you to hear me on this. And if I press too hard, you'll forgive me, right? The idea of a Christian not connected with a local church is nowhere in the Scripture. The believer is connected to a local body of other believers who are gathered together, willing to carry out the mission that Jesus has called us to carry out. So I want to encourage you, as you sit there this morning and you think about, man, maybe my step this morning is to trust Jesus as my Savior. If this is real, if Jesus is the Messiah, if He's the Savior of the world, maybe that's the step that I need to take this morning, to trust in Him, to believe in Him, to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, place me in a right relationship with my Heavenly Father who created me and desires to have a relationship with me. Maybe that's the step that you need to take. Maybe this morning you've been visiting North River for a while, you've been hanging out for a while, and this morning you know the step that you need to take is to lock arms with us, to partner with us as members, to say, I'm not just going to sit on the periphery of what's going on, but I'm in the fight with you. I'm with you. I'm with the believers here at North River Church. I'm partnering together with you to carry out the mission that Jesus has called us to carry out. Maybe that's the step that you need to take this morning. And if it is, very simply, at the end of the service today, head right down the road, come to the church office. For about 45 minutes, I'm just going to share with you the history of North River Church and what we're trying to do in this community. You have the opportunity to ask any questions that you want to ask, to find out, is this the place that God has called you to lock arms with other believers and seek to make an impact in this community for Jesus Christ? And then lastly, for our members who have done that, I want to encourage you. The mission that God has called us to fulfill here at North River Church depends not on you, not on me, but it depends on God's work in our lives and in the lives of people in this community. And I want to ask you today to recommit yourselves to the ministry here and to our mission of reaching this community for Jesus Christ. The greatest champions in this community for Christ, I want to be believers here at North River Church. I want you to be excited about what God's doing here. I want you to be locked into what God is doing here. I want you to want nothing more than to gather with one another, to lift high the name of Jesus, and to see lives transformed for His glory. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are thankful for Your Word. We are thankful for the promises that are true. Father, I'm thankful this morning for the opportunity to study Your Word together, to proclaim the truth that Jesus is the foundation for the church, and that foundation is solid, and that the promise is true that the church will be built, and the enemies of Christ will ultimately fail. Father, if there's one here this morning that has not taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, would You give them the courage today to respond in faith to who Jesus is and what He's done? That very simply in their seat this morning that they can voice a prayer heartfelt to You, where they confess that they are a sinner who needs to be saved from their sins, that they believe Jesus Christ came into this world to pay for their sins, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day, securing salvation for them, and they want to receive that now. Father, You are assembling together believers here at North River Church as we seek to continue to impact this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that You would challenge them. If they've not officially united with our church family, if they've not locked arms with us in an official way, that they would see the need to do that today. Father, for our members that are here, would You reignite within them a fire and a passion for Your church to be here, to worship together, to grow together, and to go together into this community and reach other people for Jesus. And we ask all of that in His name. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing this hymn of invitation? If you need to talk with someone, I'll be at the back. Love to talk with you this morning.